This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Monday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jens Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, we get another week closer to week one of the NFL, a dominant performance on the PGA Tour. Lots of baseball to talk about. Never a dull moment here at VSiN by the Books.
Brother, we're almost there. I was looking up at the schedule, and I'm like, God, I got to start making plans for Ireland to go look for a little UNC TCU. We're going to talk a little week zero college football. As you mentioned, dress rehearsals now in earnest, week two of the preseason upon us. Boy, yet again, rinse and repeat on major injuries in the NFL, my friend.
My goodness.
And you are so right. Scoreboard watching for pennant race baseball in both leagues. What a time to be alive, my man.
Yeah, it's a great time. It's a fun time. You're right about those injuries, though. We'll talk a lot about that and some changing places here in the NFL. We're going to have our GM, Marty Herney, join us as he does each and every Monday. Always great to have a GM right here on VSiN by the Books. And Will Hill, the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, will join us in hour number three. So a lot to get to this morning. But we start in your neck of the woods with that quarterback carousel. That's where we kick off our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Three for the price of one. We're trying to figure out who's going to be the week one starting quarterback. I guess Deshaun Watson might have that lead foot right now. 11 for 15, 126 yards. A couple carries there. 3 carries for 4 yards. Jensen, in your eyes, did it feel like a clear winner, at least to start to merge ahead in that lane, if you will, to be the starting quarterback week number one?
Hell no. They got destroyed by 24. I was told the line movement was saying the Browns should win this thing. No, I digress. No, I think we kind of knew and, you know, understanding that both Deshaun Watson and Shador Sanders would get opportunities to start here in the preseason. Mm-hmm. It was Deshaun Watson that would start week one. Shador Sanders going to get the start here upcoming in week two. But for shaking off the rust, if you will, for the first real actual live game action that Deshaun Watson has had in quite some time, I think you have to appreciate 11 of 15 comparatively with the amount that he was able to be efficient with the guys that he's been in there for the first time at game speed. So start printing the Super Bowl tickets here in Berea, Dave. I mean, now we got a quarterback. I'm just kidding. I know I got to get it out. But yeah, hey, good first, you know, go around there. Let's see what happens this week in week two.
All right, let's hear from the new head coach here, first-year head coach Todd Monken there in Cleveland, because you do get the vibe that they almost kind of want it to be Deshaun Watson for week one.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it was so cool to watch him play. I mean, I get all of the frustration by fans, himself, but for him to come back and work like he did is an unbelievable credit to him. And then to go out there, he was having fun today. And that is so cool. And I thought he really functioned at a high level. Certainly, we don't want to be taking timeouts. We sure as heck can't take delay of games, okay? But it was fun watching him play and watching us put the next step forward and see where we're at.
Okay, like, good. The coach should be excited about his quarterback. So right now, Jensen, he's minus 480 to be that week one starter. That's those numbers up there. They are subject to change. Right now, Shador Sanders, the second betting choice at plus 330. But again, I'm glad the coach is optimistic. Let's see what this looks like when the bullets are real here coming up in week number one. We always talk about it. Boy, they're real injuries, that's for sure, in the preseason. This is significant here for Arizona. Yeah. Jeremiah Love is going to be out at least a week. So says the new head coach, Michael Floor. We're going to hear from him in a second. But Jensen, boy, we talk about, you know, why you play unders a lot of times here when you look at these overall markets. And certainly this would have been one of those opportunities. And now with this injury, you just hope he's ready to go for week one.
Played 23 snaps on Thursday. Let me repeat that. The rookie in his first NFL preseason action, 23 snaps, rushed 11 times for 58 yards, caught three passes for 14 against the Raiders. We're high ankle sprain, never a good thing. I don't give a damn if you're running back, wide receiver. That is a huge issue. Now, there has not been any real odds change, though, in the offensive rookie of the year market. Still right around that plus 450. So interested to see, and I'm sure this will fluctuate once we get through this week, Dave, and kind of understand what the MRI and everything else illuminates on how much time he may miss.
Boy, you just hear hating MRI already with a guy that was just making, trying to get that his feet literally wet here in the NFL. Let's hear from the new head coach, Mike LaFleur, on the status of his prized rookie.
He came in yesterday a little bit more sore than he left. He was in great spirits even yesterday. I think you guys met with him or something like that. But we'll keep him out this week, as we just let it heal. So a little bit more sore than we were anticipating.
And as you mentioned, still plus 450. He is the shortest shot on the board to be the offensive Roy this year. Boy, it's still kind of stunning when you see Mike LaFleur, how young he looks as a head coach, first-year head coach. But Jensen, that's the thing. They're going to kind of learn this together, and maybe I wonder if he's going to learn a little bit about the usage, as you mentioned here, for the guy like Jeremiah Love. But we'll see. Clearly not going to go this week. We'll talk to Marty Herney about this later in the program as well. Whether or not we're going to see him or Carson Beck, and whether or not it's important to see those guys anymore before you get to the regular season. We'll discuss that a little bit later on. How about Jackson Dart? He got lit up, as you saw, one missed assignment there by the running back, and he got lit up so much so that he was put in concussion check right afterward. And I think he's miffed by this, Jensen. I don't think the general public is necessarily miffed, but again, maybe that offensive line and some of those blitz pickups might be the bigger issue here.
My God, if you didn't see what happened right around midfield, the sack that he took laying on the ground for the duration that he did, I puzzled because I don't know if he knew where he was, perhaps. And it feels like this is a tradition that has started here now in his young career that he finds his way to the blue tent. That's probably it for Jackson Dart this preseason. Mm. If I'm John Harbaugh, that's all I needed was to have my franchise changer laying on the ground at midfield. Not the way I want to start my era in Big Blue. But listen, this is also a team, too, and you'll see it, obviously, with that big Sunday Night Football matchup between the Giants and the Cowboys to get this thing started in week one. You obviously want to be as healthy as you can, but also with continuity. So I get why there is a little bit of angst there. But if I'm Jackson Dart, holy hell, get rid of the ball, dude. This is the preseason. None of these statistics count. And yeah, that offensive line probably got an ass chewing. like, let's go, guys. What are we doing here? You have got to figure this out in week one of the preseason. No question about it.
Then we had some late breaking news last night. Von Miller did sign with the Cowboys, 9-time Pro Bowler. So that could get a little bit dicier for that Giants offensive line for week number one. He'll be suited and booted, ready to roll in the regular season. You know, in the regular season, the Brewers are pretty darn good when they play the Dodgers. They took 3 of 4 in L.A., and we talked about the series a lot last week. And again, that's good news for my 5-1 for them to have the best record, number one seed going into the postseason. Jensen, again, we've kind of handicapped this, right? Doesn't mean as much to the Dodgers now. It definitely means a lot to the Brewers, though.
Well, especially coming off getting swept by the Padres, Brewers needed to stand up, and they did so in kind. Speaking of those Padres, a win over my Guardians yesterday, they now have the most wins in August, Dave. The Padres 11-4 to pace all major league teams. The Brewers now, by virtue of winning 3 out of 4, they're now 9-7 in the month. My Tampa Bay Rays, dear God, did you forget how to play? They sweep the road trip. Now they can't win at home. They're in danger of getting swept in a 4-game series at the hands of the all of a sudden surging Baltimore Orioles. Yep. Tampa is tied with Toronto, Chicago, Philadelphia, and the Atlanta Braves. Philadelphia, the Cubs, the Blue Jays, who are the Rays tied with for 10 wins in the month of August. Changing tectonic plates, my friend, a lot of congestion in both the American League and wild card races in the National League side. A lot of scoreboard watching, boatload to talk about upcoming in Daily Diamond today.
You know, I really wanted that last one yesterday north of the border with Dylan Cease in the bump, but the Yankees get it done in extra innings. And then they get the good news that Aaron Judge, he played catch. And we want to emphasize, he played catch. He didn't have a catch, Jensen. He played catch in rehab here. So I don't know. Do we read into that, Jensen? Are we getting closer to Aaron Judge coming back?
Well, baby steps, right? And I think if you are a Yankee fan, anything right now is going to give you a bit more optimism than what you've seen. Remember, this is an offense that has struggled so mightily, Dave. You just think about the month of August for the New York Yankees. Only the LA Angels have scored fewer runs than the Yankees. Mm. It is wild to say out loud. But perhaps some cavalry coming here, some good news on the rehab timelines of Cody Bellinger. They're hoping for Giancarlo Stanton at some point, too. So, yeah, you'll take it. Playing catch, Dave? Yes, playing catch, people. Feels like moving mountains the way that they've needed Aaron Judge to get back here pretty soon.
I just love you put that up there as a simple question. I mean, the firing back of responses, whether it's have a catch, play catch, I love the passion out there. Y'all must have forgot. That's what Roy Jones Jr. said about him after a loss in his boxing career. I guess people, if they were doubting Scottie Scheffler, you don't have to doubt him anymore. A dominant win for world number one by 8 strokes, just ran away from the field yesterday, Jensen, at the St. Jude, the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. So he's going to be obviously number one again coming in this week when they go to Bellerive. I guess a pretty definitive statement was made yesterday by world number one.
How about the lead was down to one, and then he just said, okay, let me go ahead and downshift and then be able to just accelerate and get the hell out of Dodge. What a performance. By the way, Rory McIlroy. I was waiting for you to kind of post something about all roars there. Didn't like it. Doesn't like the heat. You know, Dave, not been able to hit the ball the way I want. He's in trouble, man. A lot of trouble for all roars there.
I don't like to kick a man when he was down. He was definitely down this weekend, and it showed how much he hated Memphis, and the golf course didn't like him back a whole lot either. All right, when we come back, let's talk about more of what we saw in the preseason, and we'll get you ready for week number two. That's next right here at VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Week zero of college football is almost here, and with the NFL regular season right behind it, now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. So join VSiN Pro today. Get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You're also going to get daily best bets from all of our hosting guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for as little as $9.99 or save 50% off of the VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you on this Monday edition. Good Monday morning to everybody watching out there, FanDuel Sports Network or on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius Channel 158. Whew, it didn't look good, Jensen, down in the ATL. Now, again, so what we always talk about, you don't want to overreact. And I think this might be a lesson. We'll talk to Marty Herney about this later. You don't want to overreact on both the good and the bad. I think the typical point here from a fan base and certainly in a betting perspective is to overreact to the good. Okay, now the bad. And it didn't look good for Tua Tagovailoa, Jensen. He's fumbling snaps out there. 27-7 loss to the Broncos. The result does not matter. But do you take into account what you saw with the quote-unquote first team? We'll find out that if that is the first unit that we see for the Atlanta offense.
Yeah, shaky. Shaky is kind of nice. That's a really nice compliment for what we saw with Tua. What, 3 for 5, 22 yards across those two series, fumbled snap, just 1 first down. I think I've been hard and fast with you, whether good or bad, is that this is like the opening week of spring training in my eyes, where I can put myself back in remembering I just wanted to get back and pitch against someone else other than my teammates. You know, a live BP is one thing, but when you see another colored jersey, you know, guys on the other side, you know, starts to ramp it up a little bit, you get more of a real-time feedback of where things are. So I'll go off my own experience here, Dave. I never was a guy early in camp that took pretty much anything out of if I gave up three runs, if I got three quick outs. It was more of what's my cadence? Where's my release point? Is the ball coming out the way that I know it is meeting the checkpoint of like, it should feel this way. I should have this movement on my changeup. My slider isn't usually there early, but that's okay. I want to feel like the action of it is beginning or shaping the way I want. I would think if I'm Kevin Stefanski looking at that offense and saying, okay, I would not want to have a high bar to start because it's new. We're all new here. But you watch that and you're like, oh God, no, don't do that again. I don't want to see that again. Hopefully it's better here in week two.
Yeah, I think you summarized it perfectly. Again, I used to get excited about this stuff, and then I remember, I think I told you, Frank Robinson, God rest his soul. I asked Frank at a Nat spring training, what did you glean from these guys? He's like, here, nothing. Like, we'll find out up north, and I kind of get the same vibe there. And again, no Bo Nix here for the Broncos in this week. So again, that's what I'll be curious to see, if they play Bo Nix at all, to see what his recovery really looks like, or if Sean Payton knows what he sees in practice, that's enough for him. So we'll figure out if we see him coming up this week in week number two. Buccaneers did get a win against the Jets, 24-16 here. A lot of backups. Garrett Wilson did play, two receptions, 32 yards here. Any takeaway here from Tampa going to New York and beating Gangrene?
Not too much. Again, you love to see points from your offense. You like to see things at least on schedule. And even if it is, you know, the backups and watching how they're able to put some drives together and put it into the end zone. I think you appreciate what you took out of that. Jalen Daniels, and again, you're getting a lot of looks here at guys that you may not be leaning on right away, but you also want to know that you've got those guys that can step in at a moment's notice. So Cade Klubnik getting the couple of scoring drives, I think is really, really imperative for looking at the next wave of what the New York Jets could look like. Yes, it's Geno Smith's team for now, but hey, in the same breath that we talked about Carson Beck potentially for the Arizona Cardinals, you know, you look at Cade Klubnik, and you know that's probably a guy too we should keep our eye on offensive rookie of the year markets, because if anything does happen to Geno and if it does go south early, you got to believe that there are going to be changes in order, and maybe knowing what you have earlier than later, Dave, especially with the horizon of our year of the quarterback in college football, wouldn't be surprised knowing that Aaron Glenn is going to feel that seat being a bit hotter here to start the year.
Here's one of those results again where I mentioned it really doesn't signify anything to me, with the Commanders getting a 20-7 win over the Dolphins. But really, the inverse is true here. It's the Commanders with Marcus Mariota going down with injury, and it's the Dolphins with the first unit, Malik Willis, Devon Achane getting a touchdown run in the first drive. Like, that unit looked pretty good. So result doesn't matter here, Jensen. And actually, I kind of look at the Commanders in the week that Jaden Daniels had, and if you lose Mariota now for any amount of time, we might have some issues here if Jaden Daniels can't stay healthy now.
Isn't that remarkable? Again, to kind of parlay off of our theme here, it feels like we've come through, you know, the first 2 weeks of camp, and it has been some sort of significance on either side of the football for so many years. Hey, speaking of backups, and I want to get your take on it. We'll also probably ask Marty Herney about it. I know you're going to ask him about Drew Aller, the Steelers, who look great. Ty Simpson. Hey, I mean, what a performance there under Sean McVay's system. And not that we're worried about Matthew Stafford or anything, but I think that's probably encouraging for that building, knowing you spent the 13th overall selection on that quarterback, and it really caused all kinds of shockwaves through the league and through critics abounding. But where were you on some of the quarterbacks as far as the backups that, you know, we kind of had our eyes on of like, all right, if something were to happen here, what is the feel, at least early? And we're not overreacting too high, too low here, but I think some encouragement for a couple of these teams, no question about it.
Oh, Jensen, are you ready for this in the offense of Roy? I don't know if they were wired into our show last week, but remember we looked at some long shots, and I mentioned Ty Simpson at 100-1 for offense of the rookie of the year, that God forbid that back acted up for Matthew Stafford. Cut in half over a preseason performance. 50 to 1, Jensen. It went down $50, if you can believe that, from 100 to 50 to 1. That's the biggest move here on the offensive Roy market. I'm stunned by that. And by the way, people, I would not advocate to play this number. We talked about it, like Carson Beck was like 60 to 1 around draft day. And now, you know, you're looking at 22 to 1s on your board. It makes a little bit more sense because, you know, maybe he's going to get more playing time there. That's all injury predicated to Ty Simpson. And by the way, there's no law that says Ty Simpson would be the backup yet. We have to figure that out. And Sean McVay will figure that out. But you want to talk about overreacting to a preseason game? Look at that, the odds board here. I like Ty Simpson. That's why I talked about it at 100 to 1 if you want an extreme long shot. Jensen, 50 to 1? Come on. I mean, I think we're getting a little bit carried away after what we saw. And he did. He looked good. But it's vanilla defenses. It's not a whole lot out there that you're going up against.
Well, very much so, because, you know, again, we looked at the Carson Beck numbers, right? Right after the Hall of Fame game.
Right.
Come on, people. Like, this is ridiculous. I think we keep an eye a little bit more. Remember, I had given Carnell Tate as one of my top watch list guys. And, you know, looking at some of the cadence that he'll have, not only in this week, but also in that final dress rehearsal week here, I think wide receivers are going to get a nice focus. I know Jadarian Price there in Seattle, if you get the opportunities there to split, but also to be, you know, kind of more imperative and more leaned on in the red zone. Maybe that gives him a little bit. The other guy was Deshaun Stribling, right? And again, don't want to overreact, but boy, did he ball out. And I told you, he could end up being the number one option by health alone with what's happened in the 49ers wide receiver room, let alone their whole team. So Stribling was certainly a guy that I had looked at, locked in on. His odds, they have trimmed a little bit, but still very much worth a look there at 20 to 1.
Yeah, it is interesting. And this is why we've been trying to give this information out here as the weeks have gone on leading up to the preseason. Is it's great to see what we all finally get to see in the actual game, right? But the players and the coaches, well, the coaches certainly are getting much more out of practice. And Jensen, the interesting thing, like a Kevin Stefanski, I heard Stefanski after that just dismal performance against Denver that we talked about, right? And you know what he said? I am so excited to have Indianapolis in, to play them a couple times this week. The preseason has shifted so much in my time from covering the league in Washington, D.C., Jensen, to where now the games, they're going to go away eventually, by the way. They're actually going to be obsolete because when they go to 18 in the CBA, they'll give up that second week of the preseason. Like when they went from 16 to 17, gave up that fourth week to 3. And eventually, Jensen, we're going to get to 20. I know it sounds crazy. They're going to get to 20, probably in the next 5-10 years. And I think the preseason is going to go away completely. And it's going to look a lot like college football as we're getting excited for week 0. And we'll talk about that later in the show, where you don't see anything. You don't see anything outside of those scrimmages and those practice. I think we're going to be going by the way of the dodo bird here with preseason in short order. When we come back, let's hear from Jackson Dart, because he got lit up in week number 1 and he talked about it. Do I need to go into concussion protocol every time? Maybe you do, young fellow. We'll talk about that next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Football season, it's right around the corner for the regular season. The sharp money is already moving. Here's how the sharp plays sees it first. Exclusive data feeds from 4 major sports books. Thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. That's the machine. Now the receipts. Every play logged, every result public. Records back to 2011, live log since 2021. It all feeds a live performance terminal. Check it out anytime. No login, no paywall. Nobody else in the industry runs one. But because most records couldn't survive it, quite frankly, the Sharp Plays record gets audited daily by their own haters. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the Sharp Money at sharpplays.com. RGMRadio.com. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. Going to have RGM, Marty Herney, join the program here in the next hour to take a look back at what he gleaned out of week one of the preseason now that it is in the books. And we talk about how coaches are very different in their approach. And you've got a first-year head coach in Buffalo in Joe Brady. Now, this is kind of par for the old course, even when Sean McDermott was there, Jensen, in that Josh Allen likes to play football, man. He wants to get out there. And we know that Bills fans are going to get a little bit nervy. We don't need to see anything from Josh in this season. Let's just make sure he's healthy for week one. 6-8, 111 yards, looked good with a touchdown in a 29-14 win over the Panthers. And James Cook had 5 carries, 21 yards. I guess the bigger note would be DJ Moore in his first action as a Buffalo Bill. 3 receptions, 61 yards there. So the unit, the first unit, Jensen, at least got some time. I don't know that we'll see them the rest of the preseason, but you get that early work in, and maybe that's good enough for the Bills going forward.
Good enough. From what I've seen, their stadium and their field is atrocious, and that is something to follow here as far as where the moss has not really set in. A lot of consternation from players there that the surface there at New Highmark Stadium is anything but good. You're right, though. Looking at the efficiency again, Josh Allen, 6 of 8, 111 yards with that touchdown. I think we were really intrigued to see, outside of Khalil Shakir, where Buffalo would try and add this offseason. Yep. We got our answer with DJ Moore. Early returns, just again, I'll go back to the spring training analogy. Is the timing, is the tempo, accuracy, running the routes crisply, feels like that drive kind of consummated exactly early on what you were hoping if you were the Bills front office, looking for that true connection that would give Josh Allen that added outside weapon they have sorely needed.
Bryce Young, by the way, did play for Carolina, 3 of 5, 18 yards in a series there, and he was sacked once. Kenny Pickett getting the lion's share of the load once again, as we saw in Canton, Ohio as well. We alluded to the Giants and what we saw. Look, again, it's one play, but it seems like that's all that you're going to take away from the Giants and the Vikings game is that Jackson Dart got absolutely lit up, Jensen. And as we talked about earlier in the program, it's not a good visual, right? For a guy that was and had to be in concussion protocol a lot last year. Let's hear from the second-year quarterback, Jackson Dart, about that. And is that an overreaction or just trying to look out for the young man's health?
I really respect the rules and the thought behind, you know, the NFL has of keeping players healthy and reviewing things. But at the same time, I'm still puzzled by it just feeling like every time that I get hit, you know, I find my way in there, which I'm at times I still try to wrap my head around. But that's all that I'm going to say about that situation. You know, I'm really happy with how the drive ended.
Okay, so I get it. Like, you're young and you do have that feeling sometimes, which you should have, is you feel like I'm not invincible, but I'm okay. I'm good. You know, it's part of the game. The way I play it, it's probably going to lead me to taking some hits. Now, that one had nothing to do with running the football. That's just he didn't see it coming, and his running back whiffed on the blitz pickup. So that's going to happen, Jensen. Where are you on that? Like, I get it. The rules have changed dramatically to where it's not the team, right? It's an independent doctor by the league that says, hey, you. Like, they can stop the game, right, and call down and go, you got to get X player out, and I need you in the tent. So they are trying to be looking out for the good of the player. And then I know in the heat of battle, especially a guy like that, he's like, dude, don't take me out. My team needs me. I'm okay. Stop babying me. It's kind of a weird line that you have to walk.
He's never going to win that argument because he is the face of the franchise. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I got news for you, pal. You can be invincible all you want, but that has to happen week one under the lights against the Dallas Cowboys. Doing it on a meaningless preseason game, especially week one, heck, any week in the preseason, you're not winning that argument. John Harbaugh did the right thing. If the doctors did it before John Harbaugh got to him, even better. First and foremost, I look at this team, and I know a lot of people, because of the coaching change, Dave, were already bullish on them improving dramatically. If we are still involved here with an offensive line that looks like that, even in week one of the preseason, boy, do they have a long way to go. And I got news for you. the two pass rushes they're going to face in week one and week two, Sunday night against the Cowboys in SoFi against the Rams, Monday Night Football. You better get it figured out. Oh, and oh, by the way, Robert Saleh going to have the boys tuned up from Nashville. You know what? You got as good a defensive mind. Now's the head man in Tennessee. Yeah. First 3 weeks, that is a litmus test and then some. If you're the Giants offensive line, you better get it right, and you better get it right quick, because if Jackson Dart is planted at midfield at any point before then, or at least early on in this season, big headaches for John Harbaugh early in his Giants tenure.
Well said. I'll say this too about the Cowboys. They did get a 17-7 victory. Cameron Brown kind of stole the show here for the Cowboys in this one. Talented young wide receiver. We'll see. I believe he's going to make the squad, and we'll see where he is in the depth chart. But again, you alluded to it, that the pass rush for the Cowboys, and remember, this was one of the worst defenses that you could see on paper. People do not go off of that from last year to this year. And late last night, the Cowboys did sign Von Miller. And I just saw Sean Merriman post on X, of course, former very talented linebacker out of University of Maryland with the Bills and the Chargers, of course. And he said, just talk to him. He can still go. Last year, Jensen, he had nine sacks for a really bad defense in Washington, D.C. So if he can still get it to that level, if you told me right now, because people were asking me last night, what do you make of this? And, you know, how much better can he still go? I'm like, man, if you get nine sacks and they're key sacks around the season in certain games, Jensen, this is not going to be an every down bat or every down lineman anymore, but this is going to be a situational pass rusher. Jackson Dart, Giants, they're coming with a whole new look this year than they look like last year.
Well, think of the first 3 weeks for the Cowboys, Dave, all mobile quarterbacks, right? Giants there in the Meadowlands, Jackson Dart at home against the Commanders, which they've owned in Jaden Daniels. And then in Rio against Lamar Jackson in week three. So yeah, I think this is Brian Schottenheimer, Jerry Jones and company saying, we see it. We all see it. Yep. Not to take anything away from the Progressive commercials, but we all see it. you better have the ability to neutralize the running threat, or at least apply pressure to force some early throws and early decisions from those mobile quarterbacks. So I like the ad. And again, you're right. This could be situational football early on for Von Miller, third downs, you know, behind the chains, you're kind of seeing where you can throw guys off schedule here. Like the move, my friend. And I believe that this is also kind of that message to the locker room of, fellas, we find a way to add. We're going to add. We're going to do whatever we can because we feel that this group is very capable of doing big things this year.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I see it. I see it as a chess move. You take a piece off of another, like a very Philadelphia Eagles type move that a guy like Howie Roseman would make. And again, you look at the teams that he's been associated. Certainly the Commanders coming into last year were just out of the NFC title game a year before. So they had high expectations, the Bills before that. So you're looking at those teams that feel like they're ready to win. And that's why you go get a guy like Von Miller. 9.5 is a win total. I'd say this too. And we've already got some plays in pocket for week one and beyond. If you haven't bet the Cowboys, if you like the Cowboys Sunday night against the Giants, that number's at 2.5. Here's what I would advise. It's probably not going to come down. I don't see this coming down to 2 or 1.5, barring any injury that we don't see in the horizon here at camp in the next couple weeks. That's probably going to hit 3s at some point, if not 3.5s. Big numbers there, those hooks, what they mean in the regular season. If you like the Cowboys, I would play that right now at 2.5 on Sunday night, because that's still a key number inside of 3. Not as big a deal here, even if it came down to 2. But Jensen, I don't see that happening. I would think, if anything, by the time we're talking about this football game in about 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about a number that's sitting firmly at 3.
Underdogs are 11-6 ATS in the Giants and Cowboys series. When the game has happened in New York since 2009. Ooh. Buyer beware on that number. Very interested to see where that ends up once we get to week one.
And if you go back to week two last year in the regular season, that was the Russell Wilson game. Somehow the Cowboys won it. I still don't know how they got that done. Okay, Scotty Scheffler got it done in a big, big way, Jensen, at the St. Jude Classic. We'll talk about that. And Dana White, was he happy with the co-main and the main event on Saturday night? We'll recap it next right here, VSiN by the Books.
tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. Happy Monday morning to everybody waking up across this great country of ours. Going to have our GM, Marty Herney, join the program in the next hour. And the king of Connecticut, Will Hill, will find out what he likes coming up on the docket today and beyond. But Jensen, lots to catch up. A very interesting week in MMA. We'll talk about those two title bouts that we saw over the weekend at UFC 330. And a dominant performance from world number one. That's where we're going to begin today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
You know, sometimes we do this show, we try to give out really good sage advice, and sometimes it works out perfectly. And on Thursday, we talked about it. Hey, we were leading up to the St. Jude Classic and said, I said right here in the program, if you want to go Silver Bullet this week and go Scottie Scheffler, he's about, what, 4 or 5 to 1 in the marketplace, you could do that. And I mentioned, but what I like to do is let's see if he has an indifferent Thursday, and which he's done a lot on the PGA Tour this year, and see if you can get a better number. And lo and behold, Jensen, we came back in the airway on Friday morning, and I said, well, now he's at plus 610. And at that point, he was only, what, about 3-4 shots back of the lead. You say, well, this is the time if you want to grab Scotty, this is when you can do it. In the end, yeah, it was a little dicey early at that bogey, really bad break, hit its sprinkler head and goes in the water. Past that, Jensen, sometimes when you're the best player in the world in your sport, you just kind of flex that muscle. And I felt like it was that Roy Jones Jr. moment yesterday where he just said, Sam Burns, you name it, whoever it might be. It's not on Sam Burns. It's just on the rest of the field. I'm going to go out and be dominant. 8-shot victory here, Jensen, going into this week now. Sometimes is that just that reassertion for his second win on the PGA Tour? And I think he's still going to win Player of the Year because of all of his high top 5 and top 10 finishes.
Really remarkable, right? Youngest player in PGA Tour history to 21 tour victories and is just $1 million or so shy of the all-time earnings record held by great friend of the program, Tiger Eldrick Woods. irony of this entire whole, you know, season is that, remember we were talking about Scotty earlier, it was like, oh, you know, he forgot that the round and the tournaments usually begin on Thursday, and then Friday he'd absolutely take off. You know, just a couple of near misses for some of the majors. And now, you know, a head of steam headed into round two of the FedEx Cup playoffs here. Kind of boring win. I hate to say it. Like, just kind of like, all right, well, hope you all played a winner without market. Congrats. See with Kim. By the way, great little video. If you didn't catch it live, great video of Siwoo Kim's kid doing the double check with the pencil, making sure that dad added up the scores all correctly. That was outstanding. Congrats if you tailed our bet the build. Both of them, we had Sam Burns and Scottie Scheffler to build at the top there. So both those guys getting you home for some dollars there. Where do you go now? Obviously, we're down from 70 to 50. How do you take away what you just saw? Because I know you're a guy that really likes recency bias as far as guys that are playing well. Does that underline players for you initially, like first click Monday, like these are guys I'm gonna play, or do you have to wait a little bit longer just because it is a truncated field of 20 fewer golfers?
A fantastic query. I do look at guys in that recent form more in this sport than many others because it's a pocket, it's a window where these guys are playing their great golf. So Scottie Scheffler this week is now the short shot. Jensen, he's 3-1 to win this week at Belrive. Now with only 50 golfers, as you mentioned, in the field. And again, we have that $10 demarcation, if you will, almost $11. Rory's the second betting choice at plus 1375. I'll be looking at guys down the board, maybe like a Hideki Matsuyama, who's got some really great form coming in. By the way, Ludvig Åberg, no sweat if you tailed me last week on that at minus $1.40 to cash that top 20. He got you a top 10. He almost got you back to our top 5. So, you know, the big Swede, it's kind of a running joke, again, on social media about not closing, but he's cashing those placement markets. I'll be looking to a guy like Ludvig again this week. Just feel like Jensen, another top 10 guy in the FedEx Cup coming in and did nothing to deter that this week. I think he's in really good form, but I'll be looking at Hideki a little bit as well later on this week. Let's hear from Scotty, because you do feel like even though when you're the best at whatever you do, you still want to win. Top fives are nice. Top tens are great. It's about ultimately lifting whatever trophy that is at the end of the week. And Scotty was the guy to do that this week.
I had a really good kind of prep week coming in, you know, probably the best I played at home over the course of this year. And I didn't really feel like I needed to be on the range hitting balls. I just went out and played pretty much all weekend. And, I didn't really spend much time practicing. I was just getting out, playing, competing, and I played well, and, I felt like a good week was coming, and it was nice to come in here feeling like I'm playing well and to show up and kind of do it.
I think the way you described it as boring is right. And that's like, Tiger did it with the flair when he was world number one. Yeah. But by the way, and I know like people cringe sometimes they hear comparisons to Tiger because, yes, like Tiger's the greatest golfer I've ever seen in my lifetime. I saw the end of Jack. I didn't see prime Jack, right? But Scottie Scheffler now, when he has the lead on a Sunday, Jensen, he's 11 for his last 11. You know who used to do that? Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. So it might be boring, and I'm with you. There's not a lot of drama when he's pulling away winning by eight. But that says something, right? That when he gets that bit, he doesn't spit the bit at all when you're 11 for your last 11.
Really good to see. And for the closing stanza of this golf year, we're all looking up there. So, and I'll follow up with you. If you are in an outright, frame of mind this week, is it automatically winner without Scotty? Because just kind of looking at where we are here for the BMW, even Rory, who kind of said himself, like, I'm not very good right now. it's hard to do that. Anybody right now that you'd be looking at and saying, okay, in a winner without, you would love to target this week?
Mott's, I think he's 27-1 right now in the outright. Again, 50 player field, Jensen. If I can get him somewhere still in that 20-1 range in a winner without market, that's exactly where I'll be looking. And if you give me the big Swede somewhere around that same price point, probably a little bit shorter on Ludwig, I'll be looking to get involved in that one as well. By the way, Saturday night, UFC 330, the whole card, the prelim card was fire. And then you get to the co-main and the main event and you wanted more, right? You were left leaving. You just want a little bit more. Mackenzie Dern, dominant in her win against Jillian Robertson. Robertson won the fifth round. You saw 148-47 of the scorecards. I didn't feel like it was really remotely that close. And then to the main event, Islam Makhachev, you're going up in weight. You're taking on Ian Machado Gary, and you won. You won the fight, but there's a lot of consternation, Jensen, kind of like Scotty. Like when Scotty wins, kind of leaves no doubt that, man, I clearly was the best. There was some doubt left in that co-main in the main event. Here's Dana White talking about Ian Machado Gary. He was overly complimentary towards his opponent before, during, and after the fight as well. And I don't think that set very well with the boss.
I felt like tonight was set up for the upset. I felt like the upset could happen tonight with so much on the line, all the records that Islam has, and he's going to break Anderson Silva's record. There's weight classes for a reason. Ian Gary is a big, rangy, strong guy who has great takedown defense. I mean, if you look at his takedown defense tonight against Islam, it was impressive. I felt like, I think that Ian is a talented guy. If he had even an ounce of killer instinct in that fifth round, he had been beating him to the body. Islam's whole, I think, right side was beat up. His face was beat up. You don't come out and hug and shake hands. And that drives me crazy when there's so much at stake. And there's also a lot of mental gamesmanship, whatever you want to call it, in this game. You come out in that fifth round with a flying knee or something crazy and you try to finish the fight. I think that this is one of those fights that Ian will go back and watch and say, wish I could do that over again.
Yeah.
A rumpf. Jensen, look, I like, this is the, you want to talk commissioners, CEOs, whatever sport. You imagine Roger Goodell giving a post-game press conference like that. But if you had a ticket on Ian Machado Gary, I think, Jensen, people are going to go, yeah, dude, stop hugging and kissing. It's a fight. Go out and try to win the damn fight.
I think Ian Machado Gary had more intensity when Bruce Buffer was introducing him and he came head to head and just yelling that's the most I thought that there would be a takedown all night as Bruce started and he had to look at his cheat sheet, his little card. And then, Machado Gary just gets head to head right there. But he's right. Hey, Islam, how about that whole conglomerate and that training, you know, group? They are as big of a dynasty right now in MMA as there is. Go look at the stats of all those guys that train under that roof. Holy hell, that's unbelievable right now.
Dagestani fighters have got quite the record that they have built up in the UFC. So, I don't know. We're going to get a rematch there. We'll find out what's next for the champ at 170, Islam Makhachev. But I know Ian Gary's proud of himself, and he says he's only 28 and he'll be back. He had an opportunity right there sitting in front of you in that fifth round. Didn't get the job done. Much more to get to. We're going to talk more football and some of those injuries in preseason week number one. That's next here, VSiN by the Books.